Welcome back inside the Biloxi Shuckers pregame show. We're getting set for a 6:35 first pitch between the Shuckers and the Mississippi Braves in game four of a six-game set. I'm Javik Blake. We're joined alongside me by the man who's one win away from 1,400 in his career, Mike Guerrero. Skip, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Jay.
It's been a fun week this week, especially the last two nights. A lot of good baseball. It has to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I still think the best baseball is in front of us. I still think that we have a young team that is capable of playing really good baseball. We're just looking for to be stay consistent at all time, and hopefully when we will get to and we are able to do that, we're gonna be pretty good. Gonna be hard to beat, I will say.
How about Tyler Platt, too? A 29-game on-base streak coming into today, longer than anybody else in Shuckers franchise history. How impressive has his development been throughout the year?
Well, we knew that Tyler has the ability to control the strike zone. He has pretty good eyes at the plate. And being able to establish that record, you know, it just speaks about his ability, his talents, and, you know, he actually puts a lot of energy into our lineup and into scoring runs. As a team, he's a big part of it. Once he's able to get on the bases, the expectancy of scoring a run is really high.
And you were throwing BP to him today too. How does the arm feel?
Brand new, like $1 million.
Felix Flair has been swinging a hot bat at the plate, too. I know we talked a bit last week about how much work he's put in on the back end, but to see it translate to yet another week has to be great to see.
Well, you know, I think hard work is paying off. It's paying up, during a time that he has spent a lot of energy on it. And like I said, it's fun when you work on something and then translate to the game, and you know, we have a high expectation for not just for him, for all of them. They work hard. It's a group that work hard, a very young group, and you know, at one point in this season it's going to translate to be more consistent and look out, like I said.
One of the real special weeks in the baseball calendar, as everything has started up around minor league baseball, including the Dominican Summer League. As a manager who started your career in the DSL and managed the first 8 years of your career in the DSL, how special of a place does the Dominican Summer League hold in your heart?
I think it were more than 8 years. I think there got to be somewhere. I believe there were 11. 11 years down there, and spent 11 years and you know what the Dominican Summer League does to baseball. All those Dominican guys that are in the big leagues, you know, come through there, or not just Dominican, but Latin American kids are going to that a place where all 30 organizations have one or two or three teams. It's special. The level of competition is really good, and you start, the flowers start opening there, and all the talent, all the high expectancy for the players is awesome. It's, you know, you see kids 16, 17 years old out there, and wow, it's different now, right now at this time. But when I started, you know, the Dominican Summer League, we had a lot of players that got into the big leagues, and you know, the first year I managed, I saw Aramis Ramirez playing for the Pirates third base, and I saw Adrian Beltre playing for the Dodgers at third base. That's a long time ago, and those guys are, you know, elite. Adrian, Hall of Famer in the future, not too far. I think it's where the big leaguers are made. You start seeing the talent showing up, and that's where everything starts. It's just a really good vibe for baseball.
And when you grew up, there was no Dominican Summer League. But as you got into your playing career, the academy started popping up and the DSL started really exploding. How much has that helped minor league players in Latin America to have those academies in the DSL, a place where everybody speaks in Spanish and a place to really grow as a baseball player before going to the United States?
Well, the academy, you know who started the academy in the Dominican, right?
Los Angeles Dodgers, right?
Nope.
Really?
Nope. The Toronto Blue Jays were 2 years ahead the Los Angeles Dodgers, and my dad created the first academy.
So you've been entrenched in it your whole life.
So the first academy was the Blue Jays, and my dad started the academy. The first organization that opens an academy paid by an organization was the Dodger. But the first academy, baseball academy, was my dad. And the first one was actually opened in Venezuela. He opened it in the Cardenales de Lara. That's where everything started. And then he moved to the Dominican and started the first academy for the Blue Jays.
How impressive has it been to see all that grow firsthand from your own family?
Well, you know, it's just, I was a kid, seven, 8 years old when my dad started the first academy. And, you know, baseball is being ingrained throughout our family. You know, my grandfather and grandmother owners of a team, and you know, my uncle play in the big league. My dad played professional ball and then translate to being a scout for 50 years and all that kind of stuff. So it's baseball has been what I have seen for throughout my life.
You're one win away from 1,400 in your career. How special has it been to look out at the last 30 years of your life and have it all be coaching and the great players you've seen and the great memories you've created?
Well, everything is a tribute to all the great players I've seen, all the players I've seen, all the coaches, all the pitching coaches, all the staff, and you know, the Brewers, and it's a tribute to them, and they have given me an opportunity to be the bus driver.
Well, you've been a pretty darn good bus driver, Skip. Thanks much.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
This has been today's pregame interview. It's the Shuckers and the M Braves at 6:35.